We're looking at prayer this morning and want to know whether we're doing as we should. We want to talk about this morning, ask in prayer. A-S-K in prayer. Here in Luke chapter 11 in verses 5 through 13, Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Jesus teaches us here the principle of not giving up. And He's likening this to the idea of prayer, of asking. And He says this example of this man who comes in the middle of the night to ask something for his friend. You ever had somebody knock on your door in the middle of the night? It's usually not somebody just stopping by to say, "Hey, how are you doing?" when somebody knocks, or the phone rings in the middle of the night. Those are usually emergency type situations, and here we have such. And He says, even though he won't get up just because it's his friend. You know, if your friend comes in the middle of the night and says, "Hey, let's get up and watch a show or play a game, or, you know, sit and talk for a while," you say, "Hey, now's not the time. Go away." And you wouldn't get up just for your friend. But this fellow here, because he continues to knock and say, "Hey, look, I got this emergency. I've got to have some food right now." And he continues, he doesn't give up. And the idea that Jesus is presenting for us here is as well, that we need to not give up. But we see here the darkened words, ask, seek, and knock. Although, I'll tell you what, I have to back it up or something a little bit. It's too close. Some of the words are missing. But we need to ask in prayer. And we want to look at each of those 3 letters, A, S, and K. And I bet the bright folks that you are, and that last passage we looked at, you've already figured out what A, S, and K stand for. But we'll go through them one at a time. Some years ago, a young man approached the foreman of a logging crew and asked for a job. "Well, that depends," replied the foreman. "Let's say you cut down this tree." The young man stepped forward and skillfully felled the tree. Impressed, the foreman said, "Start Monday." Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday rolled by, and Thursday afternoon, the foreman approached the young man and said, "You can pick up your paycheck on the way out today." He said, "I thought you paid on Friday." The foreman said, "Normally we do, but you're being fired today, so you get the pay for those 4 days you've worked. You've fallen behind. Our daily cutting charts show that you've dropped from first place on Monday to last place on Wednesday." "But I'm a hard worker," the young man replied. "I arrive first, I leave last, I even work through my coffee breaks." The foreman, sensing the boy's integrity, thought for a moment and asked him, "Have you been sharpening your axe?" The young man replied, "I've been working too hard to take the time." The foreman said, "You can never skip that." And he gave him one more chance. Well, what about us? Have you been too busy, too hard at work to sharpen your axe? Prayer is what helps to give us a sharp edge. Without it, the more work you do, the duller you become. We need to be sure that we're taking time in prayer. We We need not, however, to be like this fellow who only prays when he's in need. One man went slipping off of a cliff and grabbed hold at the last moment and yelled out, "Is there anyone there? Help!" A voice said, "This is God. Let go and I will catch you." There was silence, and then the man calls out, "Is there anyone else there?" You know, sometimes we only cry out to God when we're in need, but even then, we don't really trust Him. Even when we're in need, many times we look for some other way, some other alternative. And we try to keep God kind of like the spare tire. And you know what happens with spare tires? When's the last time you needed your spare tire? It almost invariably happens to me when I need my spare tire, I get it out and I put it on the car and it's flat because it hasn't been cared for. The problem we have many times when we try to treat God like a spare tire is He doesn't have time for us when we suddenly have need of Him. He doesn't work that way. He's not just whenever we need Him, He'll pop up. If we don't have the relationship with Him that we should in the good times, we won't have a relationship with Him in the bad times. We've got to not wait until we're in need. Now we need to ask with simplicity. We need to understand, there is no magic formula. Sometimes people think that they have to use flowery language, they have to use big words that they don't understand the meaning of, but that sound really impressive in order to talk to God. Some people think that they have to talk to God in 16th century English, Old English, with these and thous, and they don't even understand what they're saying, but they think somehow that God will only understand that language. Now, there's nothing wrong if someone is used to praying that way, of using those words, but that's not necessary. God understands our plain everyday English just as well as He understands that flowery language of Shakespeare. He can understand a little child who can barely pronounce the littlest of words just as easily as He can understand the professor who has a profound grasp of the English language and can use words that most of us can't spell. He understands both. God is not too high that He can't understand the humble. And He's not too dumb to understand the eloquent either. But we need to understand that we don't have to use some special magical formula with big fancy words to try to help God understand us. Luke 11 and verse 11 there, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you," He compares God and us to the Son and the Father. And God is our Father and the Son. You know, when's the last time you saw a little fellow? I don't know. Morgan, do you do this? Do you say, "Oh, great Father, wouldst thou please giveth unto me a loaf of bread so that I can make me a sandwich?" Wait, you asked Him that yesterday? No, you didn't say it that way. You just said, "Hey, can I have a couple pieces of bread so I can make a sandwich?" We don't talk that way to our own Father. God is our Father. We need to have the kind of close relationship with Him that we could have with our own Father, that we can talk and ask simply. If a son asks for bread, the son asks his father for bread. He doesn't list all of the chemical components of the bread. "Well, yes, Father, I need some hydroxide mixed with," and named off all these things that are in the bread. You know, I don't know what the scientific name for flour is, but I'm sure there is one for wheat flour or rye flour. But he didn't do all that. He just simply asked, "Can I have some bread?" Sometimes we outdo ourselves to try to make it more complicated than it has to be. I think about Jesus' sample prayer that He gave. When Jesus showed the disciples, He said, "This is how you should pray." Do you realize that prayer that Jesus gave them as a sample? Now, granted, in the King James, it has some of that flowery language of the 1600s, because that's when it was translated. But if you bring that to the modern English even, it's really quite a simple prayer. And you know, it's pretty short. It's not 5 pages long, filled with all sorts of fancy words and difficult words to understand and pronounce. In fact, most children at a second or third grade level can read that prayer. You don't have to have a college degree to read and understand what Jesus says in that prayer. Probably the hardest word in there is hallowed. That's probably the hardest word in the whole prayer right there. But Jesus didn't use those kinds of words. And if you look over at His prayer in John 17, when He was praying to the Father, that prayer is even a simple prayer. It's longer. He prayed more. Now, listen, you think about the prayers that are recorded as He was in the garden, as He was about to die, some of those other prayers, John records a long section, but some of the others, it just said He went and said, Father, if it's Your will, let this cup pass from Me. You think about that prayer for just a minute. Do you realize there's not a single word in that prayer that is 2 syllables long? Father, other than Father. Father is the longest word in that prayer. If it is Your will, let this cup pass from me. They're all 1-syllable words. They're 3 or 4 letters long. Why do we think we have to be so fancy when we're talking to God? And we say things many times that we don't even understand. I recall the story of the man one time in church. He would constantly, in his prayers, every time, and Father, please remove the cobwebs of sin from our minds. He didn't know what he was talking about. But he'd say that every prayer. And finally, one fellow had gotten fed up with it, and he went through his little routine of saying that again, and the fellow just hollered out, Lord, please just kill the spider! But sometimes, don't we get these phrases, and I was talking to Abigail about it just to say, we get these phrases where we say the same thing over and over, and it gets to the point where it doesn't even mean anything to us. It is true we need to ask with simplicity and ask simply, but we need to ask for the things that are from our heart as well. But we need to be sure that we do ask. Sometimes we just expect other people to just know what we want. Now, God does know what we want, but He does tell us to ask. He says, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have. Why does He say? Because you do not ask. Just ask. We're out there trying to get everything to do it ourselves and take care of ourselves. And God just says, just ask Me. He goes on in verse 3 there to say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Maybe that's why sometimes we don't ask. Maybe we don't ask because we know we're not asking for the right things. We're not asking in the right way. We're wanting to spend it on our pleasures instead of something that would be good. We need to ask in faith. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He goes on to say that someone who asks with doubt like that shouldn't think he's going to receive anything. God doesn't give to doubters. You know, how many times, and this is completely opposite of the way many, well, Lord, if You're up there, if You'll just do this for me, then I'll believe in You. That's not the way prayer works. Prayer works, God says, you ask in faith with no doubting. You know, God, if there is a God, and save my soul if I have a soul from hell if there is a hell. No. If we don't have the faith to start with, James says, you doubt, you're like a wave that's just blown by the wind here and there. We need to ask believing in God's power. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The Hebrew writer tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that He is and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We've got to believe that He has the power to do what He said He'll do. Not only that, listen, not only is He able to do what we ask, but He's able to do even what we think. And not only that, He's able to do abundantly above that. Not just abundantly above, but exceedingly abundant. I don't know how far exceedingly abundantly above is, but that's pretty far. He can do so much more than we ever let Him. We hinder God's power by our lack of faith in Him. More could be done. Then we want to notice, not only do we need to ask with simplicity, but we need to seek with intensity. We need to seek intensely. I thought I fixed the spelling on that once. There's supposed to be an E between that S and L. Luke 11, verses 5 and 6. And He said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you, in the middle of the night, at midnight, if you were in this situation, somebody was journeying to see you, and they got there around midnight, and they hadn't had anything to eat, and of course, you know, why didn't you stop at McDonald's then, get you something, you know, or whatever. But it was a different day and age. There weren't a lot of places they could just stop and grab a Big Mac. So if they came in at midnight, and they'd been traveling long and hot and dry and hungry, and they come in, and they need some, and you didn't have anything in the house ready. Maybe you'd eaten, you didn't even have any leftovers, you ate everything at supper. How many of you would go knock on your neighbor's door at midnight and say, "Hey, can I borrow a loaf of bread and some lunch meat? I don't have anything to give my guest that's just shown up." You think about the intensity that this guy has. Think about what to go bother somebody at midnight. Now, I have bothered somebody at midnight when my car broke down on the side of the road. I walked to the nearest house and I banged on their door. And that was back before I had cell phone, you know. Remember back those days when you didn't have a cell phone? You had to go knock on somebody's door to use the phone if the car broke down? Either that or just sit there all night long? Well, I can, you know, in that situation, but, well, yeah, I might just say, "Well, buddy, sorry you didn't get anything to eat. I'll fix you some breakfast in the morning." Some of us would be too shy. Look how bold this guy is. At midnight, he goes and knocks and says, hey, friend, let me have some bread. I got this guest and he needs something to eat." Would we do that? Would we have the courage to go out there and take the risk that he might get mad at us for coming at midnight? We need to seek God. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Not half-heartedly. Not, "Oh yeah, I believe there's a God up there." He doesn't reward those people. There are a lot of people in this world who think they're going to get to heaven just because they kind of live what they consider a good life and they believe there's a God up there in heaven. That's not what God said He rewarded. He says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Are you diligently seeking Him? Or are you just thinking, "Well, you know, if it's something really important, He'll come tell me." No, that's not what He says. He's already come. He's already done His part. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He did His seeking part. Now it's our turn to seek Him for a change. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Paul talked to the people. He said, you need to feel after God. You need to, and he's not talking about emotional subjectivism, but he's saying you need to reach out, you need to try to find him, because he's not that far from every one of you if you just make the effort. Just reach out to him. But too many people are just sitting on the sidelines waiting for God to reach out to them. He's already reached out. He reached out 2,000 years ago when he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. We need to seek God's will. John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." What? Remember that? We said Jesus said to that prayer in the garden, "Father, if you will, let this cup pass from me." But do you remember the rest of that phrase? "Not my will, but yours be done." Well, there's some more simplicity. Not any big words in there. Nothing a first grader couldn't read. "Not my will, but your will be done." That was Jesus' attitude the whole time he was on earth. And you know what? Jesus said on one occasion, the reason he pleased the Father, and we can please the Father too, he said, "I always do what the Father commands." Now I know, maybe we can't always do, I mean we all fall short, don't we? But that was why Jesus pleased God. That's what made him so special. He always did what the Father wanted. He didn't say, "But I want to, and I'm going to do what I want to do." How many times do we say that? How many times do we say, but I want to, but I'm going to, but I think, but I don't, but I will, on and on. We say that very thing. Maybe not out loud, but we say it in our mind. When we read in the Bible and it says we should do a particular thing, sometimes we say, "Yeah, but I don't want to do that." We're not going to verbalize it. We don't say it out loud, but we live it out loud. Because we don't do it after we've seen that we should. We need to seek things above. Colossians 3:1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." Now all of these things, God and His will and the things above, we need to seek all of those with intensity. We need to be intensely seeking these things. Sometimes we spend more time picking out what we're going to wear one day than we do thinking about what God wants us to do with the day. We spend a lot of time, what am I going to eat for breakfast? And we don't spend any time thinking about what can I do to please God today with my time. We need to think about the things that are above. If we're going to see Christ one day in heaven, if we're going to be with God, if we're going to enjoy eternal life, then we're going to have to act like we want it now. We need to seek those things which are above. Then we need to knock with persistency. We need to not give up. When we think about prayer, you know, we said there's no magic formula. We just pray from your heart. Put the words into your own way of saying it. You don't have to say it the way somebody else says it. Say it your way with your words. God knows you, your thoughts anyway. But you've got to pray like you mean it, with intensity. Really ask for something. So many times we're a little blasé about some of our prayers. They become canned, they become repetitious, but we need to be intense with our prayers and pray like we mean it. But then we need to knock with persistency. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just keep at it. I am reminded, I don't know how much truth there is to the story, but supposedly the story goes that Winston Churchill was actually asked to give the commencement address. It's that time of year, graduations and so forth. He was asked to give the commencement address at a college here in the United States. He, of course, the Prime Minister of England during World War II, and had helped that country survive the blasts of the German military. And, you know, he flew thousands of miles over here, and he got up there, and as the story goes, he got up there and he just had this one thing to say. He stood before that crowd of graduates and he said, "Never, never, never give up." That's it. Five words. And then he sat down. And let me tell you, those are some pretty profound words. And two of them, you know, maybe he could have said it in three words, but I guess a little extra emphasis by repeating that "never." But that's how England survived World War II. They didn't survive it because they had great wealth. They didn't survive it because they had a stronger military or better soldiers or better weapons or any. That's not how they survived. They survived because they never gave up, and he wouldn't let them give up. I kind of wonder, but what that man would have gone door to door telling him, "What do you think you're doing, giving up? You can't give up." He was stubborn. But we think about that in our lives. How many times do we pray about something? Maybe one of our loved ones who is lost. And maybe we pray about it once or twice. And then we quit. We give up. We say, "Oh well, guess that didn't work. Move on with my life." Don't give up. Sometimes, it's not that God doesn't want to answer the prayer, but sometimes it's just not time yet. And He'll get to it when it's the right time. How long had the Israelites been praying for the Messiah to come? How many generations of people prayed all their life for the Messiah to come, and they died having never seen Him come? Generation after generation. From the time when Moses had prophesied, "The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me, and you'll listen to him when he comes." All the way back to, even before that, the time of Jacob, when he said of Judah that the scepter would not fail out of Judah's house until Shiloh came. All the way back to Eve, when God said, "I'll put enmity between you and the serpent," between you and the woman and the serpent. You know, there's going to be that enmity there, and you will bruise his heel and he will crush your head. And all the way back there in the garden. 4,000 years people lived and died, some of them with the hope and the prayer that Messiah would come. Now, some of them didn't care. Some of them were the devil's kids anyway. But for generation after generation after generation, they didn't give up. How quickly we give up sometimes. "Well, I prayed for that yesterday and it didn't happen today, so I guess I don't ever ask for that again." Why do we think that God works on our time schedule? Why do we think that God's just going to do tomorrow what we asked Him for yesterday? It's not always the right time. How long were the children of Israel in Egypt crying out to the Lord before He heard them? We know that they were crying out to Him before Moses was born. How old was Moses when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt? 80 years old. How many of the people who had been crying out before Moses was even born died in slavery in Egypt before the Lord sent the rescuer to come and get them out? A lot of them. We need to knock with persistency. We need to knock without ceasing. First Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That's our verse for the week. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Pray without ceasing doesn't mean you're praying every second of every day. It just means you're not going to quit praying. You're going to keep it up. You're going to keep doing it. We need to knock fervently. James 5:16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to pray and do it with fervor, with real feeling in our hearts. And of course, we notice the prayer of the righteous. If we're not living like God wants us to live, if we haven't been seeking His will in our lives, like we talked about earlier, then our knocking's going to be in vain. And we need to knock without giving up. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, He told another parable to teach them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. So there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a widow in that city. She came to him and said, get justice for me from my adversary. And he wouldn't do it for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. You know, anybody, you ever had that happen with somebody? You didn't want to do something, but somebody just bugged you until you just got so sick of them bugging you, you did it so they just hush. So they just leave you alone. You ever had that happen? Most parents have experienced that at least 100,000 times with their kids. But, you know, of course, as parents, you know, we've got to be tough on that, but it's so, you know, that's what happened with this woman. She just kept coming to him, continual, he said. And she's just going to wear me out. I'm going to die of a heart attack from this woman bugging me all the time. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? He says, you know, sometimes God's going to bear long with you. Sometimes it's going to be a while. Sometimes He's trying to teach you patience. Sometimes He's trying to teach you contentment. Sometimes He's just trying to teach you to wait and trust Him to do it His way at the right time. I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Now that last phrase, that's some of the scariest verse in the Bible to me. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will there still be anybody left who believes by the time Jesus comes back? What a question. Then we want to notice as we conclude, are you asking in prayer? Are you asking, seeking, knocking in your prayers with God? Are you doing what we've discussed this morning? Poem, No Time to Pray. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He said, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided my child. You didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. How do we enter our day? How do we live out our days? Trying to do everything our own way? Or coming to God so that He can do it His? Remember to ask with simplicity, to seek with intensity and to knock with persistency. We'll remember those three things. Our prayers will become much more effective than they've been in the past. And if we'll remember our verse for this week as well, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. We need to keep at it. The old saying, practice makes perfect. Now, I've not ever actually seen practice make perfect, but it does help you get better anyway. So we need to practice praying to the Lord. We need to do it. You put it into practice, you'll get better at it. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just start talking to Him. Just tell Him the things on your heart, the things in your mind, the things that trouble you, the things you're thankful for. Just start talking to Him. Tell Him about your day. He cares. He wants to know. You're His child. And He loves you, and He wants to know about your life. He wants to know about your needs and what you're thankful for. And honor Him and praise Him and glorify Him in your prayer as well. Have a prayerful week this week. Fill it up. Perhaps you haven't been asking in prayer. Perhaps you have not accessed prayer because you don't have access to prayer because you're not a Christian. You know, the Bible tells us that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you don't have all spiritual blessings, and prayer is a spiritual blessing. If you feel like God's not hearing you, maybe it's because you haven't been hearing Him. Have you heard His Word? Have you believed it? Have you been willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you been buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away? You know, I'm much quicker to listen to my children than to strangers. If we're still strangers, God's not obligated to listen to us, but He does listen to His children. Become a child of God today if you've not. If you are a child of God, but perhaps you haven't been talking to your Father, maybe your relationship is a little strained, or maybe you're even feeling like an estranged child, come back to Him. Talk to Him again. Pray. Confess your sins. Repent of those things. And come back to Him. Renew that relationship again. If you have a need to respond for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.